You are listening to the SSP Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Smart Albums. Smart Albums is the fastest, easiest, and most intuitive album design software available. They've made it so easy so you can get back to doing the things you love. Studio.
I have one. It's great.
It's a closet. It's a closet with an ironing board and an iron.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
The theater of the mind.
You've sent me pictures. I've seen your studio.
Yeah.
I want to build a studio. Like, build one.
Right.
Like a big studio.
You need a lot of hangers.
An ironing board.
Yeah.
An iron.
Some exposed electrical cords.
Oh, you have exposed electrical cords?
Yeah.
That's not up to code, man.
Yeah.
You need to fix
that's
that.
Not legal in city limits.
Okay. Are you ready? I'm ready. All right. We are on episode 5. We interviewed Mike Colone. He's a photographer everybody in the world has heard of. And if you haven't, then you should crawl out from underneath your rock.
Which is much more comfortable now that I've done that.
He's in California. Phenomenal, obviously. I don't know if you could tell. Excuse me. I don't know if you could tell when I was interviewing him that I was a little nervous at first. Did that come across at all?
No, because I've, now why would you be nervous about that?
I was nervous because he was, somebody that I looked up to very early on. So to get to interview him, I almost felt like, do you remember we went and saw Wilco?
Well, I was just going to say, I was going to say, people don't know this about you, that you, out of everyone, you would think that you would be the last person to do this, but that you become extremely starstruck. And yes, please do tell the Wilco story.
Okay. Well, I won't tell the whole story, but there were a few instances where I basically crapped my pants at the sight of a rock star.
Of one of the road crew.
It was the drummer, first of all.
Isn't that their bus? I'm pretty sure it is. Sam, calm down. We haven't even seen them yet.
Oh, and I was so anxious about going into the sound check.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid of what they thought of us.
Right.
They don't care who
yeah,
we
they
are.
They don't care. No, you didn't. I didn't think you sounded that way at all with Mike. You sounded pretty, if you were faking it, you were doing a good job.
I was faking it. So, Mike, if you listen to this, I was faking it. I was wetting my pants the whole time I was interviewing you.
I mean, at least you didn't go Chris Farley.
Dude, that's one of my
favorite. I'm sitting here
SNL
with one of the
skits.
Greatest photographers in the world. You won some awards, didn't you? No.
No. Oh, man. Yeah, but that was a great interview. And I was just excited that he was willing to do it. And I don't actually remember what he said.
Well, I wanted to tell you, you know, before we get into talking about the interview, because I really enjoyed it myself. And before I get sidetracked, I really want to talk about the idea of the apprentice,
okay.
Which he sort of touches on a little bit.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he does not.
I took notes, man.
He does not talk about the apprentice. Or
are
Donald
you,
Trump. This is a
right
bad
now.
Time.
Is that all you can think of when I say that word?
Apprentice?
Hey, here's the thing I was gonna say. My mom called a few minutes ago, and she said that you suck. All right, now.
I just think it's a bad time to be bringing up Donald Trump. Jeremy.
Okay, well, that's not what I was talking about, and I'm sorry that your understanding of that word is limited to a really terrible reality TV show.
Okay. You said The Apprentice.
Right.
Is that not what you're talking about?
No, I was talking about him talking about early on in his career where he got with he named the photographer.
Oh, right. I do remember that.
Yeah, and that photographer basically invited him to come along with him, and he taught him so many things. And I love the concept of that, the idea of the apprentice, if you can detach that word from Donald Trump for a minute.
Right.
Just being able to learn a skill and a trade from a master like that. It's there's something kind of old world about that. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I do still think, though, it's a bad idea to bring up Donald Trump.
Okay. So why don't you, in your brilliance, take the show where you want to go with it now? What genius question do you have to ask me right now?
I don't have many questions to ask you. I was just curious what you thought of the interview, really.
Well, I was trying to tell you.
Right. I mean, what do you think about it in the terms of how the interview went, what you pulled out of it, but I want you to talk about it without talking about Donald Trump.
Okay.
Man, we've totally derailed. This has gone off.
Yeah, don't say we here.
This has gone sideways. Oh, but I was excited. I was really excited to interview him, and I'm really happy how it went. And he was alarmingly laid back. I found that really interesting because I feel like he's incredibly driven, but he's really laid back. So that's sort of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I'm really laid back. I feel like I can be really intense at times. No? Watch it.
I think you're a mix of both. I don't think you're as intense as I have been. It has been said that I am sometimes,
yeah.
But yeah, he was very relaxed, and I enjoyed listening to you guys talk.
Yeah, that was good. I want to say one thing really quick before we get started with the interview with Mike. Smart Albums has been really gracious to give away a free copy of their software. It's their version 2 software. It's amazing. It's album design. It literally has taken album design from me from 6 hours to, it takes me about 15 minutes to design an album. They have their own proofing site. It's fantastic. We're giving that away through our email list. So if you haven't signed up for that, sign up for it. We're going to give it away on Friday. So make sure you do that. Okay. Anything else, Jeremy, I'm missing?
Not for me.
No. Okay. Well, let's get started with, this is Mike Cologne, and I hope you enjoy it. California. Gonna stop me now, California, here we come, right back where we started from. A pedal to the floor, thinking of the war, gotta get us to the show.
California, I don't know if my eyes aren't good enough or what, but I don't have the right focusing screen.
Getting old, man.
yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, you know, we need a little assistance.
Right.
The older we get.
Yeah, here, does this look good? All right, now let me take the photo. Yeah. It's funny, my friend just bought the A7, or I don't know if he got the R or the S, but I just recently purchased the Leica, the M, and I've been toying with the idea of switching from the M to the Sony, just because of a lot of the features you're talking about. Like, of course, the Leica is very bare bones. It's a rangefinder, the focusing system's a rangefinder system. It's just interesting to hear you talk about it. Like, it's appealing. It's interesting to me.
The Leica is it's not like electronic viewfinder, right? It's just optical.
No. Yeah, you look through it and it's got the two little boxes, you line it up, manually focus, and then that's it. But
so
the lens
I really appreciate the simplicity of that camera, you know, and even how it's, you have the monochrome, or is the M the monochrome?
No, the M is the Type 240,
yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I'm thinking of the monochrome one. That's all black and white, right?
Yeah, it's all black and white. And then they make a version that doesn't have the LCD, so you're shooting digitally and you can't see what you've shot.
it's a thing to do. A challenge, right?
Right.
Some people like a challenge. Back to the film days, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there is something to be said for that and the art of it and the process of it. But man, when I'm working for a client, I need every advantage I can get, and I need to be fast, and I need to be accurate, and I want to nail it. I just don't want to be killing myself later in post.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you. Absolutely.
And I got to perform. It's like a wedding. You can't mess around with a wedding, dude. It's like, you can't redo it.
Well, yeah, so. No, you can't. That's the nice thing about sometimes working commercially, depending on what you're doing, you can say, I kind of screwed that up. Let's go do that again.
Right.
But weddings, you don't get another shot. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, for commercial stuff, it's just your time, you know, and hopefully the client has the time and stuff, and there wasn't too much production going into it, but you even have the time to maybe preview it right there on the spot, you know, give them a little presentation right there on the spot and see if you got it. But a wedding, there's no time for that. It's like, you got to nail it, and the day keeps moving with or without you.
Yeah,
and, that's true. You can't screw it up. Even if it's not your fault, it's your fault.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
It's always the responsibility of the photographer to get great images, whether or not he was set up for failure or success, you know,
right.
By the bride, by whoever was
involved.
That's
right. Well, I want to get into introing you. You are Mike Colone, obviously. you're in California. You're a wedding photographer in California, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Southern California, more specifically.
Yeah.
I'll just throw this out there right now. I'm incredibly excited to be doing this because of, you know, I started my business officially 5 years ago. I sort of shot with other people and worked with other people. But you know, 5 years ago was the mark for me. But you specifically played a huge role in the educational DVDs that you put out.
Oh, cool.
A lot of the content you put out, I was like, man, this guy's great. He does really great work. He's really smart. So you played a big part in my growth, specifically as a photographer.
That's awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah, and as a business owner. So I'm excited. So thank you for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, man. It's a privilege.
Yeah. So like I said, you're in Southern California, but you shoot everywhere.
Yeah, I'm based in Southern California, and you know, bulk of my work is local, but I would say at least half of my work is destination.
Yeah,
I'm on a plane going to and fro different places.
And destinations are beautiful, but California, I feel like you've got beaches.
Yeah, it's kind of a destination. You know, also
you have everything: beaches, mountains, vineyards. It's incredible out there,
dude. I gotta say, everywhere I go, I just want to go back home.
Really.
I love traveling, and I love seeing the world, you know, and getting a feel for what else is out there. But everywhere I go, I'm just glad I live where I do.
Yeah. Did you grow up in California?
It's amazing. Yeah, I grew up here, and I'll probably stay here my whole life unless God has something else for me. I don't know. But it's I love the weather. It's always perfect, especially where I live now. I live in Ladera Ranch, and it's just the right distance from the ocean, where it's like perfect weather every day. I'm like, whoa, another perfect day in the Ladera Ranch. It's amazing. Every day I walk outside, I'm like, wow, it's exactly the same as it was you know, the other 364 days of the year.
Well, we've had two straight weeks of rain and humidity and heat.
Well,
so
we're in a drought, so we could use a little rain and send some our way.
I would love to.
I'll send some sunshine your way.
Yeah.
And you send some water.
That'd be fantastic. I'm curious too. Obviously, like I said, you're a wedding photographer. I'm curious how you got started into shooting weddings and how long ago that was and what got you to that point of shooting weddings on your own. You've created this business, this brand.
I got started. A friend of mine introduced me to a wedding photographer back in, like, I want to say 99, somewhere in there. And he was looking for kind of an assistant to take on his overflow weddings, like where he could refer somebody, train them up, refer them, and get a commission off the weddings he referred. And so we met up and we kind of hit it off. He was a cool guy, and I was kind of just getting started on my career. And I said, "Yeah, man, I'm really interested. I really want to learn. I'd love to come with you and like learn everything I can and assist you, you know, no charge, and on as many weddings as you can bring me out this summer, and you know." If you like what I do, then maybe you could refer me and it'll all work out. And I, you know, I made it clear that I wanted to do my own business. I didn't want to work under somebody for forever, you know, but I would hopefully make him some money in the process.
Yeah.
And so it was a good fit. And he, dude, he just like, his name is Jim Sisko. He just took me out to so many weddings. I think it was like 15 or 20 weddings that summer. And I just kind of copied everything he did. He like set up the bride and shot her. Then he moved to the side and he's like, here, you shoot the same thing. It was like my portfolio looked identical to his. And he kind of set me up with my own portfolio, set me up with client meetings. He started introducing me to clients and I would basically come there, show them my work, but it was kind of like his work in my album, you know. It wow. was like I took the shot, but he kind of set it up. And
yeah,
but everything I knew as far as weddings went back then was he taught it to me, as far as like, you know, what to shoot and how to shoot it. And so he started bringing me in and introducing me to clients and getting me booked. And I would just kind of sit there and let him do all the talking.
Right.
And he would get me booked. And he, man, I think like that first year after the summer of training, the next year, he had me booked on like another 15 or 20 weddings on my own. And so that was my start, you know, that was where I got all my experience. And from there, it just kind of evolved. And I started trying to figure out what I wanted to be and who I wanted to be and which images I was attracted to and how I wanted to go about being a wedding photographer. But what I knew for sure is I just loved it. I loved the idea of having a career doing weddings because I love being around people. I love meeting new people. I love the excitement of being in a different location and, you know, kind of telling the story of someone's special day.
Yeah, sure.
It was meaningful work, you know. It's like I felt like a historian. I was documenting, you know, this important day, this really cool, special moment that would go down in history in their lives, you know, and they, you know, they'd really value the photos. The photos wouldn't get thrown away. They would be kept forever.
Hopefully.
yeah. And hopefully I'm not making brides cry in a bad way, but in a good way.
Right. Yeah.
My wife, she, you know, really kind of showed me the value of wedding photography and how much she appreciated our wedding photos and, you know, the good and the bad. So I had kind of firsthand experience on how important these photos are.
Yeah, and that's cool.
And I think that, you know, it's cool to do something that's valuable. It's cool to do something that, you know, you feel is important.
Yeah, you do something you love. It's amazing.
Yeah, so this guy, I just fell in love with it.
Oh, this guy, his name was John, you said?
Jim Sisko.
Jim, yeah. Sorry, Jim, if you hear this, I apologize for calling you John. It sounds like he was he basically at a point where he was ready to just sort of hand it off, or was he just the kind of guy that was like, I want to help this guy?
Yeah. I mean, I think he wanted to help. But I think mainly it was kind of expanding for him. It was like, he saw an opportunity. He was getting double booked, or he was like turning people away because he was already booked. And so he realized he needed to get someone, instead of just referring it out to other people, he wanted to kind of get someone that he can get a commission from, someone he trusted, that shot a similar style that he can kind of, you know, train.
Yeah.
So he can take care of the clients that come in and he can, you know, make a percentage. I was paying him like 25% of the gross on what I made on these jobs. And he let me keep the rest for myself. Obviously I had to pay for all the albums and everything else that goes into it, but he also let me keep the future referrals with no commission on the future referrals.
Oh, so that's great.
It was kind of like establishing me. I think he knew it was temporary and it was something that he could make some money for the first few years.
Yeah.
And he kind of knew eventually that I would be off on my own. And I would have stayed with him forever taking his referrals, but I started going up in price so fast where I got more expensive than him and he couldn't refer me. So it worked out for a while and I would have worked out for longer, but I kind of went after a different market.
Sure. Yeah. The I think everybody, you know, knows that's your thing, the high end bride.
I
learned a lot from that DVD. We can get into that a little bit, but I'm still curious. There's you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You're shooting with this guy, you know, you get moving into your own brand, building your brand. But one of the things that is really interesting to me is the longevity or almost the staying power of your brand. Is there something that you feel like, well, this is what I can attribute to that specifically?
I think just being like in love with what you do. I really love shooting weddings. You know, Some people say, like, do you get burnout? And yeah, I mean, there's times I get burnout. If I shoot too many in a row, too many weekends in a row, I want a weekend off, you know?
Yeah.
But I just really love it. You know, I think the shooting part is fun for me. It's not really work. Like, honestly, I've always said this, like, if my clients knew how fun it was for me, they wouldn't pay me as much as they pay me. They'd be like, I could probably get this guy cheaper because he really likes it.
Right.
But you know, it's like, I got to make a living too. And I got to keep my brand established. And, you know, if you charge one person something, you got to keep charging everybody that price. And so, I've kind of locked myself into a certain price range and I can't go down because, you know, the last person paid me a certain amount. So right. I got to keep charging that, but it's good that they don't know how much I like it because, you know, they probably could talk me down in price if they knew how much I liked it.
We'll edit that part out.
Yeah. Edit that whole part.
Do you feel like when you were growing, do you feel like, you know, you're building your business, you're building your brand. Do you feel like, was it hard to continue to raise your rates? I mean, did you find that there was a little bit of nervousness and apprehension around, well, if I start charging people more, I'm not going to book as much.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a do or die mentality. It's like, you got to commit to it. Cause I knew that every time I went up in price, I made significant jumps in my price. And every time I did it, I knew that if I didn't make it, I had to basically go find something else to do because it's almost like humiliating and bad, really bad for your brand to go up in price and then come back down. In my mind, at least at the time, I was just like, that's just like, you know, suicide. And so every time I did it, I was like, it was do or die. It was like, I'm going to do this and I'll make it work. I don't care how. Like, I know there's potential here and I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to take the leap of faith, do it and figure out a way to make it work. And so every time I went up in price, it was scary. And every time I did it, I always worried that I'd put myself out of business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't have another option. I didn't have another career to fall back on. This was it. You know, this is what I put my life into.
Yeah.
And I just figured out ways to make it work. You know, I would have to fork out money and get in debt and advertise and make the phone ring, you know? I just worked hard.
Now, as far as the advertising part of it, you've committed to raising your rates. You know, you've said to yourself, I'm going to make this work. Were there things specifically, as far as advertising goes or word of mouth, were there things that you were like, okay, I can hit this avenue of whatever, and this will help me continue to get brides or at least inquiries or get me in front of the bride?
Yeah. I mean, you probably remember from my Reaching the High End Bride DVD, the equation that I gave in that is called the value equation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, has to do with your, you know, the quality of your product and your service. And then, a big part of your value is also your prestige, you know, and that adds value to what you're selling. And so I knew that, you know, getting my name out there, shooting certain types of clients, getting a resume together with celebrity clients, being in magazines, giving like lectures in front of photographers and being known as an expert in my industry, all those things I knew would help build prestige and add to my value. And when a client hires you, I mean, I think the reason that prestige adds so much to your value is it helps establish like a level of trust when they hire you. You know, they're looking for someone they could trust to do a good job. And it's just easier to trust someone with a reputation, someone who's been there, been around the block and done, you know, done things before, you know, like,
right.
Like, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but, it's easier for a bride to trust you when she sees your resume and there's some names on there and she sees that you're, you know, enthusiastic and passionate about what you do. And she sees that you're an educator, that you're up to date with all the latest technology, that you're sponsored, you know, all those things help me, add value to what I'm selling and help me charge what I charge. Of course, you know, everything is founded on good quality service and excellent photographs. And that's the foundation of everything I do. And that's what I focus on the most. You know, I'm always trying to improve. I look at my work from my early days and I'm like, that's horrible. And I don't know why I even keep these photos. I think I'm going to go back to them and use them for something. About why do I even keep these? Like, they're horrible. And you know, every time I think I'm going to go back and dig up some genius photos, I just like, oh, I just don't need to go shoot again. You know, just go try it over, you know, because these are wrong.
These are wrong.
So I'm always looking to improve and get better at what I do. And I'm really, sometimes I'm blown away at what people paid me to shoot the stuff I shot. back then. But you know, always adding to the quality of what I'm doing, and also taking my service to another level. You know, like treating people right and taking care of them and making them feel important and making them, you know, it's all wrapped into what you're providing for your clients. And you know, the prestige is a huge part of getting booked. You know, it's a big part of it, and it's more than I'd even like to admit. But it'll all fall apart. You can have prestige and no quality or in what you're doing, and everything will fall apart. You know, yeah. So you got to back it up. The prestige kind of helps you get people in the door, attracts people to you. But if you can't back it up, it's all going to fall apart. So I feel like, you know, just working hard on every level of your business, you know, taking care of your clients, being the best photographer you could be, and yeah. also building your prestige.
I want to go back a little bit. You talked about, you know, the going into debt, and I heard another interview you gave, and I was incredibly impressed at how honest you were about the issue of going into debt.
Yeah.
And when we do workshops, you know, and I tell some of these people, like, yes, I've gone into debt for some gear, and you know, we've sort of tried to stay away from that. Do you feel like that was a big mistake?
Going into debt?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, okay, if you would ask me that question 10 years ago, I thought in my mind nothing was a mistake, because, you know, it's like, if I'm where I'm at today, how could anything have been a mistake? Right. You know, it was all learning experience. Like, it all worked out. See, I was right, you know? Like, everything I did was for a reason, and all that debt was good. But, you know, the older I get and the more wise I get, I think, and just the way I see things now, it's like, I'm sure that I made a million mistakes, and debt was probably one of them. And I feel like God just kind of bailed me out so many times, you know, I could have been in so much trouble. And I feel like, you know, getting on my knees and praying is what actually saved me from my own failures. You know, getting in debt is one of those things. It's scary, you know, it's like, it's a risk. And I always used to preach, like, man, you got to get in over your head, and then you start swimming to the top so you can breathe, you know, and jump off the cliff and grow wings, that kind of mentality. And I think that's still important. You got to be aggressive in business. You have to, like, believe in yourself. You have to sometimes light a fire under your own butt in order to get things done. And I think that debt did that for me. But I guess since I didn't do it any other way, I didn't really know. There could have been a better way, you know. I always think, like, I was in this huge rush to make sure I was succeeding, to make sure I can provide for my family. I was in this mad rush. And looking back, I'm like, why was I in such a rush? I could have taken things slower and done things, like, more organically, instead of kind of, like, got in over my head. I could have just kind of waited till the demand was there and then raised my fees little by little. But it kind of worked out for me, you know. Like looking back, I'm like, maybe, you know, that helped me get to where I'm at. I know it did. You know, yeah. I know that taking those risks set me apart from everyone else, because people are super gun shy. You know, they don't want to pull the trigger. You know, they're super safe. And I think that's what helped me kind of cut through the noise, helped me kind of excel and stand out from the crowd. Because I was willing to make waves. I was willing to take risks and stand out, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, to your credit, obviously you do stand out. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Thank you.
But I get what you're saying. I mean, it's kind of hard to question or call something a mistake when you're looking at where you're at now. I get that.
Yeah. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if I was to give the same advice, I would not tell people today. Maybe the economy is different. Maybe there's just way more competition. Things are harder. Maybe I'm just older and younger photographers are way hotter right now, but I just don't feel like right now I want to be, maybe it's just the place in my life. I have four kids. I have a mortgage. I don't really want to take huge risks right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think I need to, take out a loan and just go crazy, like get some huge studio and just, you know, just market myself to death and just to, like, you know, get the business pumping, you know? But then I'm like, you know, is this really what I want? Or do I want a little more security, a little more, like, let's take it slow and let's just, you know, grow organically, keep growing, you know, not take huge risks. I'm not really in a place in my life where I want to start over.
Right.
So maybe I'm just in a different place now. And I don't know if I'd give the same advice as I used to give, as far as, oh yeah, just like jump in and get in like $100,000 in debt and it'll work itself out. You know, I don't know if I want to give that same advice, and maybe I've changed. I don't know. maybe I need to be given that same advice, because that's really how it's done, and I'm forgetting how I did it. But you know, I think you just gotta really pray about it, really like stop and think and make educated, wise choices. Don't go too far where you can't survive. You know, don't take risks where it's like all the risks I took were, they were calculated risks, you know?
Right.
And I did a lot of research before I took those risks. Some of them were a little bit impulsive, but I still knew in my gut. And sometimes your gut instinct is the right instinct. You know, you could second guess yourself all day long, but if you just stick with your first impression, it's usually right. So.
Yeah. My gut instinct is horribly wrong. All the time. I try to really
just
calculate.
Do the opposite. Whatever your gut is.
Just do the opposite. Do you feel like when you get further and further away from the day that you started, let's call it the day, are you afraid of it, you know, becoming irrelevant? Like, what happens if I wake up tomorrow and?
Oh yeah, dude, all the time. I mean, I think that's the fear of every self-employed, especially artist, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you feel like, oh, I got my moment in the spotlight, and can I hang on to that, you know? And I guess there's part of me that doesn't care anymore. There's part of me that's like, maybe I matured it to the point where I don't need to play the competition game where I have to be the best in the world. I just want to take care of my clients and do a good job. But I also know there's a game to be played, and people, you know, they buy into marketing and everything else, and you got to sustain your brand. You have to like actually be relevant in today's world and constantly evolving and your work changing, and you have to be making waves or else people forget about you. So, you know, I know that needs to be done. And so, there is that fear when I wake up in the morning, like, am I going to be forgotten? Am I working hard enough? Can I work as hard as the young photographers who have no kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh boy.
Do I really want to, you know, work 15-hour days again,
yeah,
on the phone, making things happen, you know, all the fluff. I don't know.
I know for me, you know, I've only been doing it a few years, but I'm beginning to think about, like, I don't want to be 65 years old and shooting a wedding. Like, do you ever think,
yeah,
like, what is my end game here?
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm teaching a class right now at a junior college. A wedding photography class. And I think the reason I'm teaching is because I want to see if teaching is a cool retirement or a cool place to be somewhere down the road, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, like, I, after teaching the class, I taught two semesters ago, and they asked me to come back this semester, and they want me to, you know, be more regular there, like teach every semester. And there's part of me that's like, man, I just want to be out working. I love shooting. Teaching's fun. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like when I stop, the day I stop shooting is the day I'm going to stop teaching too, because yeah, I feel like, what do I have to teach? I guess there's so much to teach. I feel like this is one of those careers that's constantly evolving. So if you stop actually working, then the stuff gets stale, you know, and you're showing the same images, or you're just like, you get burnout because you don't have confidence that you would if you were actually working and actually earning a living doing it.
Yeah.
So I guess you can always teach the fundamentals of photography, but if it comes to like any kind of marketing or any kind of like creative style, you almost have to be out there working too to really know so you can properly teach.
When these photographers come to your workshop, I thought about this when you were talking about that, you know, you put on a workshop and all these photographers from all over come over. Do you see the change? Like, wow, these are different than 3, 4, 5 years ago.
As far as like the workshops go,
or
as, like, who's showing up, or
yeah, who's showing up, and the material you're presenting sort of has to adapt to, man, these photographers are changing, things are changing, the industry is changing.
Oh yeah, it's always changing. You know, I feel like I'm every workshop I do, I spend weeks doing research and catching up with all the things I feel like I need to be teaching, you know, just to make sure I'm not teaching old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't just talk about what I did, because the world's different now.
Right.
You know, I rode a wave of like a great economy too. And so I can't just be telling people to get in debt over their ears and it'll all work itself out, because we're in a different economy now. So also photography is different, you know, like social media is in the world now. And there's so much information on YouTube that you can get for free too.
Yeah.
And so I'm competing against all of that. And I'm also, you know, I'm also trying to teach the most relevant things, you know, make sure that I'm giving people a good value for their money spent, you know.
I want to close with this. I've taken up enough of your time and you've been gracious to answer all my ridiculous questions. Most of the people that listen to this, you know, are either starting out or they're in a place where they're right on the edge of, I either need to commit or I need to sort of just pack things up and call it quits.
Yeah.
You know, they want to get to the next level, but they're not sure how. Is there anything that you feel like, look, if you've missed anything that I've said in this interview, listen to this, take this bit of advice from me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I've said anything in this interview yet that's of any importance, but so, let me just start now.
Okay. That's fair.
man, I if I'm talking to someone who has been doing it and is kind of like, you know, either wants to take it to the next level or quit, what would I tell them to kind of push them through? Or someone new starting out that wants to know like how to make it in this world. I mean, I think the foundation of everything is you got to be willing to work hard. You know, it's like you can't be lazy. And I think people get into wedding photography and they think, I'm just going to work on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like this is a great career. I just work on Saturdays and then I could go surfing every other day or whatever they're thinking, you know, like you got to work hard. And people think that, I don't know, a lot of people think that the successful photographers just were lucky or they're just, you know, amazing artists and they're geniuses, you know, and no matter what they touch is going to turn to gold. But the reality of it is the successful photographers are like workaholics. They work hard, you know, they love to work and they love what they do. So it's kind of easy for them to work. So the first thing, you got to make sure you love what you do. You got to make sure that you're in the right business. If you're not, it's like, you got to find something you love because there's no way you can compete in photography or any other career with people who are in it who love it. You know, you can't compete against those people if you don't love it yourself because they're going to put way more hours in. It's not work to them, it's play. So you got to love what you do and you got to be willing to put the hours in. You know, you can't be lazy. You got to pound the pavement sometimes. You got to stress out sometimes. You got to figure things out. I would say don't pay too much attention to everyone else around you because you can waste a lot of time and bum yourself out a lot by looking at everyone else's work and everyone else's success or their supposed success, what they put out there. Focus on improving yourself and just compare yourself to who you were last year instead of comparing yourself to others because that could really burn people out. And I think that most people quit doing it is because they just get so discouraged by seeing everyone else doing so well. And it's all a mirage, you know? Everyone puts their best foot out there. They want to make sure, or their best face out there. I don't know if I said that right.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Whatever. You know we what I mean. It.
Yeah.
Your best foot forward. I don't know. I don't even know these sayings. I don't know what I'm talking about. So everyone's putting out, you know, the best image they possibly can. And so it's a mirage, you know, like if you're looking at what everyone else is doing, you just think, man, I really suck. I really like my stuff is horrible. Or like, why can't I book a job? My work's better than theirs. And they're doing so much better. What am I doing wrong? You know, you think all these thoughts and I hear it all the time. And I fall into that too. When I start getting online and looking at other people's stuff, I just want to kill myself. Really? I just want to like, yeah, dude, I just want to like, oh, you know what? I'm washed up. I just need to, you know, find a new career. Maybe I'll open a jiu-jitsu school, you know.
That would like, rule.
That's a fresh start, you know. I've actually considered that because I, you know, it's like I feel like the more you look at other people, it's just depressing, you know, because there's always going to be someone out there who has more time, more energy, is better than you, whatever the situation is. There's always someone that could beat you, you know. It's the same in every industry, every sport. There's always someone better. So it's better just to focus on what you're doing, try to improve yourself and compare yourself to yourself. As long as you're making forward progress, be happy, be content. Make a lot of friends, you know, be nice to people, be generous, be willing to take risks. You know, you got to put money out there. Sometimes you have to use your credit card. It sucks. Better to save if you can. Save first and use cash.
Right.
Because you get better deals. You're not paying interest and you're not getting yourself into risk. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So be willing to take risks, believe in yourself, and work hard. You know, I think it's the fundamentals of any business, you know. Photography is like anything else. You got to put in the work.
Well, that's good, man. I appreciate that. That was good info. We could condense the whole thing into the last 2 minutes there. That was really good, man. I'm just kidding. That was really good, man.
and that was just a bunch of fluff. Wait till I talk about the real stuff. No, I'm just talking about things that, like, from my heart, but man, there's so much to it. You know, it's like, there's so much. You can't talk about, you know, the secrets to success in a 20 or 30 minute conversation.
No, yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there sharing, a lot of people out there. There's so much information on YouTube, on Creative Live, you know, different, online platforms. You could get so much information and learn so much. And it's really about having confidence, you know.
Are you still doing, I mean, obviously you have your downloads, your DVD set that you put out, but are you doing any more education online, anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I have plans to. I'm honestly like my.
I like how you laugh through that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I've had plans for a long time. You know, to it's kind of like the catch 22. You're either working and you don't have time to be educating, or you're educating, you don't have time to work. And so I'm trying to find that balance, and I go back and forth. Just depends on my career and where I'm at and everything. Right. So like right now I've just been working hard, shooting, working for my clients. I haven't had time to like update my blog in like a year or something.
Holy cow. But
yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, but I think, the future for me, as far as education goes, I don't really know. I know that, like, I'm a Sony artisan now. So I know that there's expectations there for me to, you know, be out there presenting their gear, and they have amazing gear, and it's kind of the cutting edge, and people don't really know about it yet. So I feel this obligation to share it with the world. And so I know that there's a lot coming for me as far as education goes, because I want to get the word out with the mirrorless stuff and with Sony's cameras. So I'm sure that people will see a lot of me, in regard to that, because I feel like that's a new wave that I'm going to be riding. And then I plan on having like a YouTube channel where I'm just pumping out free videos to help photographers, you know, building an audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That way, and obviously, like, that will help me fill up personal kind of private workshops, because I love doing those still. And then at all the conferences, you know, like, I'm sure Sony's going to bring me out speaking at all these conferences too. So, you know, that's kind of the latest thing. The Sony stuff, I think, is kind of where I'm at right now as far as education goes, and then just working hard for my clients and, you know, taking care of my clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, man. I know you're busy. You got a lot going on.
Yeah, my pleasure, Sam.
All right, episode 5 is over. Thank you, Mike Colon. That was incredible. That was exciting for me to interview. There's a lot of really great information in there for everybody. Make sure you check them out online. Guys, don't forget, Smart Albums is giving away that software. Sign up on our email list. We'll pick 4 winners. We'll be giving away a few different prizes, gift cards. We're giving away a mentorship, some presets. I forget what the other thing is. That's terrible of me. You'd think I'd know that. I should know that off the top of my head. Don't forget to find us on iTunes, subscribe. You can find us online, samstroudphoto.com. You can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, and every other place where somebody can self-promote themselves to a sickening degree. That's it, guys. I hope you have a great week, and see you next week.